Hey, welcome to the YouTube version of my podcast. And in this episode here, we're going to go over some quick news updates, buying homes which are undervalued relative to the current market. We'll go over how do you actually find deals like that and then find more deals like that. We'll then kind of shift gears and talk about taking a more long-term approach and a more long-term perspective when assessing the real estate market. Talk about a couple clients that I have who have been putting renters into some bedrooms in their house to increase the amount of cash flow that they make throughout the course of the month. And then after that, we'll do a little bit of a recap over the overall video there. So to start off just with a quick news update, 1/3 of all homes for sale right now are by new home construction builders as reported by Redfin.com. What I found interesting about that article yesterday was that builders, for one, have not slowed up whatsoever in regards to their productivity. Two, sellers still have a reluctance to sell due to the low interest rates that they've locked themselves into. One thing that I did find interesting, though, is quarter over quarter, the amount of homeowners who have interest rates of 3% or less is down approximately 10% quarter over quarter, meaning some of those folks who didn't want to sell, or you can't blame them for not wanting to sell because of the low interest rates that they have actually started to sell now. The last news update is that investor home purchases are down 40% in the Sun Belt pandemic boom towns, where you have Atlanta down 50%, Charlotte down 50%, Jacksonville 48%, Phoenix 47%, Las Vegas 43%, and both Orlando and Tampa down 41%. And what that means is a lot of your investors or would-be buyers who are looking for second homes have really slowed down their purchasing acquisitions. And not a bad thing. And it also kind of, you see that in the market data. I think this year right now we're up nationwide about 4% in home price values. And that's a slowdown as compared to the last 2 years, which we were up 20% and 22%. So really not a bad thing right there, but just a very interesting piece of data to keep your eyes on in regards to investor purchases. Now, going on to more of the main content of this podcast video and buying homes which are undervalued relative to the current market. What does this mean? So if you're in a neighborhood and the average house in a neighborhood is selling for $250,000 and you find a house that's listed for sale for $200,000, you probably think that that's a really good deal because that house that's listed for $200,000 is undervalued relative to the current market, all the other houses in the neighborhood. So I'll talk about a customer who I just helped purchase it was actually his first house that he ever bought. And he purchased the house or the townhome for $150,000. Comps in the neighborhood were going for $170,000 and the home appraised for $158,000 while we were under contract. So my customer and I were both very happy about the deal that we got him because he purchased a home for $150,000, it appraised for $158,000, and comps in the neighborhood are going for $170,000. And the townhome needed a little bit of work. The inside and the outside needed a little bit of work, probably a few thousand dollars worth of repairs that were lined up and were ready to do when he moves in this upcoming, this upcoming weekend. But he's real happy and I'm real happy because he has a house at $150,000 right now that's selling on the market for $170,000. So he found himself a very good deal. And, you know, we probably walked through 5, 6, 7, 8 different townhomes before we came across this one. But once we recognized the deal that we were getting, we acted fast and we got him into that townhome right there. So where do you find more deals like this? And how do you find more deals like this is probably one of the questions that you have. Is it hard to do? Is it difficult to do? Or is it easy to do? And, you know, my answer to that would basically be that as a realtor, I wouldn't expect the average person to do this, but as a realtor, if you're doing your research and if you're doing your homework, as you should be, because that's what you're paid to do as a realtor, you're going to understand where on the open market are undervalued homes. So if you're asking the question, well, where are some of these? Let's take one 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 1,400 square foot home priced at $359K right now in St. Augustine, Florida, where comps in that area, meaning just comparable homes, same size, same layout, are selling for $270 a square foot. This subject property is selling for $244 a square foot, meaning this house relative to the neighborhood is 9.5% undervalued on the open market right now. It doesn't really just stop there, because although it's 9.5% undervalued, we can still request the sellers reduce the price a little bit lower, allowing us to buy the house for greater than 10% discount relative to the active market that's out there. And add in a few thousand dollars worth of upgrades to the landscaping, exterior, interior of the home, and now you're in the position to sell this house closer towards the median home price of houses being sold in that neighborhood, which is over the last 3 months, the trailing 3 months, is $419K, meaning this is a targeted return of 14.4%. Because, well, first off, if you're going for a 14.4% return, that's really good. That would be, on this example, the targeted return. But if you're a family that's not necessarily looking to flip a house, you're just looking to buy and get into a house, that's awesome. That's great. You know that you came in, you got 15% wiggle room basically on where you could sell the house if you wanted to. If you're somebody that's looking to move in for a couple years and then sell at a profit, you're also in a good position. And if you're a house flipper or an investor, now you're in a really good position. And last but not least, if you're somebody that wants to come in and you like to do short-term rentals, vacation rentals, Airbnbs, Vbros, this house is also in an area where the average income for an Airbnb is $5,300 each month. So not only are you buying a house that's undervalued, you're also in an area where this neighborhood has no HOA. They allow short-term rentals in St. Augustine, which averages $5,300 a month on short-term rentals. So you're in a very good position right there for a home like this. Now, another question is that just the only one out there? Or what else does the Jacksonville market look like? So if you go to Sandalwood, Jacksonville, Sandalwood is going to be about 45 minutes north of where St. Augustine is. It's getting yourself a little bit closer, more towards the airport in Jacksonville. Still not across the bridge. But if you go to this neighborhood in Sandalwood, take this 1974 square foot home that's selling right now for $300,000. This house is 26% undervalued compared to all the other homes that are being sold in the neighborhood, and looking off the trailing 3 months of comps that have been sold in this neighborhood. So if we look at this one right here, meaning we also ask the seller to discount the price a little bit further, and it's turning into more and more of a buyer's market right now, so a lot of sellers are willing to do that. Asking the seller to discount a few thousand dollars off the price, a few modest interior and exterior renovations, some new siding, some new hardy board on the inside, some new carpet, some new paint on the walls. At this point, we're talking about a 20% targeted ROI on our investment, because we know what our house costs, we know what the homes have sold for in the last 3 months, and we know what the homes are currently selling for in the market. So from that perspective there, a couple other things I look at is this community is also a non-HOA community, meaning you can come in, you can do short-term rentals, you can do vacation rentals like Airbnb and Vrbo. But ideally, for buyers, being able to come in and know I'm getting a house undervalued relative to the local market, that's a really good thing as a buyer right there. And one of the last things I have noted is, as a buyer, you really want to do your due diligence in that regards right there, because it's a tough economy that we're in. Groceries are expensive. Electricity is expensive. Vehicles are expensive. Houses, maintenance, like you name it, it's expensive. Now, if you're somebody and you have the money and you don't really care about getting a good deal, there's nothing wrong with that. You've worked, you're in the position where you can just go buy things without caring. But a lot of people right now, including myself and a lot of people that I know, are trying to find good deals, things that financially make sense. And when you're searching in this kind of perspective to find houses that are undervalued, whether it's the home that you're living in or an investment or just cash flow you're looking for to make money on, you want to do your due diligence to make sure that you get the best deal out there for yourself. One of the next things to talk about, kind of shifting out of this right there, going into taking a more long-term perspective approach to real estate and taking a long-term mindset when assessing the market, it really helps calm people down when they go to buy a house and they're taking a more long-term approach. Buying a house is often the most expensive decision that somebody makes. So taking the time to make sure you come in with the right state of mind really allows you to not necessarily feel a lot of stress or pressure when going through it. So the perspective I like to give people is like the stock market, the housing market grows over time. So in 1965, the average home being sold in the US was going for $19.6K. The average home price today is going for $430,000, meaning it's been a steady increase up. Now, there's years where the market goes down a little bit, but over the course of 60, 70, 80 years, home prices have continued to go up in value. So when you approach from this perspective and you take that long-term approach, you realize that whatever I buy today, even if we have a rough few years ahead of us, that asset that I purchase is going to continue to grow in value. And you want to look at that data. That data is right from the Fed, the St. Louis Fed. So you can go online, type into Google historical home prices, and you'll see that right there. But that begins to ease the mind and show you that getting into real estate over the course of the time is it's a really good investment for yourself there. One of the last things that I got is I now have my second customer in the past 3 months that's asked me to put a renter into one of their bedrooms. So actually the subject property we just talked about before, my client who purchased a townhome for $150,000. In addition to those homes selling for $170,000 right now, I also put a vetted renter in one of his bedrooms for $700 a month. So he's making cash flow. His home price is doing really good. He's in a very good spot. Another gentleman on the other side of town recently had me find him a renter for $1,000 a month. So got in his third bedroom in his house. He's got another vetted renter who's in there for $1,000 a month, just helping him improve his cash flow. So something that I thought is a real cool idea for those of you that might have an extra bedroom and might want to consider that as a possibility and idea. So that pretty much concludes this YouTube version of the podcast. Full version's available on Apple. But we talked through some real estate trends, some new data in regards to new home construction and investor purchases. Did a case study of my client who purchased a townhome for $150K in a neighborhood where they're selling for $170K. We looked through some other properties who are 9% undervalued and 26% undervalued relative to the sold prices of houses within their neighborhood over the trailing 3 months right there. Also made sure they're non-HOA communities so that people that want to go in and do short-term rentals have the ability to do so. You can also look for those deals in HOA communities if you do prefer HOAs. And lastly, talked about taking that long-term perspective in real estate and what a few of my clients have been doing recently in regards to putting renters in some of their bedrooms. So thank you for tuning in to this podcast. Any comments, likes, or different things you want me to cover in another video, please just let me know. Thank you.